Bezos Hashem Yisbarech. Today's daf is Nun Gimel Maseches Erevin. It is a 273rd daf in Shas. I'm zocha to be learning this with you 2 days before Sukkot in Arzeinu Akdosha. And despite Corona, the sounds of Sukkot still surround us. Baruch Hashem. In fact, you might hear the sound of my son's drill in the background. And that's what Dafyomi does. Dafyomi does, it allows us to, or encourages us to, when we have a few minutes between the preparations of Yom Tov, to continue no matter what. No matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws at us, to continue marching on in Shas. Perek Ketzad Ma'abrin deals with how we calculate the Tchum of a city. In fact, I had hard time of learning this perek last time we did the Dafyomi because it is quite a mathematical perek. In fact, I pulled out one of the first Art Scroll editions. For those who are interested in a little bit of history, if I'm not mistaken, Art Scroll first printed Maseches Makos, and then its second foray was to in the difficult Maseches of Erevin. And Mayri Virabi, Rev Reisman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tar V'das, I probably was in high school when he was working on Maseches Erevin, and Volume 2 of Art Scroll, the fifth parak was done by my great Rebbe, so it's a little bit of an excitement when I opened up to get some help with some of the difficult cheshbonos to see that, to remind myself that my Rebbe, one of my great Rebbeim, had written it. So let's begin. Ketzad Ma'abrin Es Ha'aretz. How does one create and extend the boundaries of a city in terms of the tchum? In other words, calculating the tchum is not always easy because bayis nichnas bayis yotze. You could have in a house that's inside, that's a little bit further into the city, and you could have a house that's outside of the city. Pogum nichnas pogum yotze. Or if you have a wall that surrounds the city, but a tower can be coming in or from the wall, or a tower can be going out from the wall. Hayisham gedudios gevalos asar tefachim. Or if there were ruins that are 10 tefachim high from the city's corners, gesharim. Or there are bridges. Rabbeinu Yohanan adds that these bridges had a booth, for those who collected the tolls, and therefore it's considered a makom dira. Unefasho sheyesh behen beis dira. Nefashos are not literally people, but rather tombs. So, Metzian es Hamida Kenegdon. This extends the Tchum. So, it could extend the Tchum opposite the entire city. In other words, once you have something that's going out, then it causes the entire city to go out. Once we've defined what makes the boundary, we make the tchum like a square tablet, so that one gains the additional area in the corners. In other words, everything is drawn as a square. The Gemara now brings a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in terms of the Mishnah's description of the boundary. Rav Shmuel chatoni ma'abrim. One taught that the second word of the Mishnah was Ketzad Ma'abrim. V'chatoni Ma'abrim with an Aleph. Is it Ma'abrim with an Ayin or with an Aleph? Mandatoni Ma'abrim Aver. The one who understood that it's with an Aleph, then it has a connotation of limb by limb. In other words, you extend the Tchum limb by limb. U'mandatoni Ma'abrim, and the one who says with a Ma'abrim with an Ayin, Ki'isha Ubara. It's like a woman who's pregnant, and all of her goes out. The Gemara now goes off on a tangent, and quotes other machlokios about where you have a question of words, the meaning, and the appropriate spelling, and different connotation between Rav and Shmuel. The first one is the question of Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the famed cave where our avos and imos are lying. In fact, I just got a message from Rabbi Ben Packer, who's an old friend from the old city, who's a real Ish Chevron. Not only is he an Ish Yushalayim, he's also an Ish Chevron. And he just mentioned to me that he's been learning Erevin with us, so Rabbi Ben here's something that connects us. Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Again, it's a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. Also, we don't know who said what. Rav and Shmuel, Chad Omer, Shnei Botim, Zelefnim, Mizeh, V'chad Omer, Bayis, Vali, Al Gabov. One says that what it means, it's double, Machpelah is Meloshon Kaful, means that there were two rooms, one in front of the other, and one says it had a house, and it was if there was a cellar above. Bishleim lemando amar zal gavze. I understand according to the man d'amar says it's on top of each other. Haynu machpel. That's why it's called a double cave. Elamando amar shnei batim zel lefnim mizeh. But according to the man d'amar who says that it's two rooms, one in front of the other, generally kafel usually doesn't describe that. My machpela. So what is the meaning of machpela? Shekfula bezugos. It has multiple couples inside. It's been a while since I've been zocha to be in Chevron and mentioning Rav Ben. It's mitragesh to think about one time being with him in Chevron and to think about the schus avos and the schus of those who have continued Torah and Mesorah in the Ir HaAvos. Mamre Kiryas HaArba. The Torah describes Chevron as Mamre, the city of four. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kiryas HaArba Zugos, the city of the four couples, Adam V'Chava, Avram V'Sara, Yanka V'Leya. So different explanations of the Lashon Machpelah. Now we have another Machlokes in terms of the Lashonis, of the Apsukim and its connotation, Vayhi B'mei Amrofel. So the Torah describes in Parshas Lech Lecha the war between the four and the five kings. Amrofel was one of the kings. Rav Shmuel Amr, Chad Omer Nimrod Shmai. He was really Nimrod. V'lama Nikra Shmai Amrofel. Shamar V'hipil She'omar. It's a conjugation of Amar V'pol. He said, V'hipil Avram Avinu B'teich Kivshon Ha'esh. That he was the one, Nimrod was the one, according to the Medrash, who threw Avram into Kivshon Ha'esh when he denied Avodah Zarah. V'chad Omer Amrofel Shmai V'lama Nikra Shmai Nimrod. Some say that his name was actually Amrofel, but Nimrod was a simon. Shehimrod is kol olam kula elav b'malchusai. That he had caused the entire world to be brought into war. He led the whole world in rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu during his reign. Another machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. This is a well-known machlokas. This appears also in Saita on Daf Yud Aleph. Vayokom melech chodosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yodas Yosef. Rav and Shmuel chad omer Chodesh Mamish. One said that when the pasuk describes a new pharaoh, it was a new one. And one said, no, it was the same pharaoh, but he had new decrees. Madamar Chodesh Mamish Tchsiv Chodesh. Madamar Shenschachu Gzei Roisav. The one who says that it's new gzeros, he's medayik from the lashon pasuk. Midaloi Ksiv Vayomas Vayimloch. It doesn't mention Vayomas Paro Vayimloch Parach Acher Tachtov. But one who says that their new gzeros, haksiv asher lo yodas Yosef, doesn't it say that he didn't know Yosef? According to this one, he knew in the past. Maya asher lo yodas Yosef, dehavid dami kemanda lo yodas Yosef kla. He made himself as if he didn't know Yosef, but he was the same paro, but he entirely changed despite his interaction with Yosef HaTzadik. The Gemara goes back to our Mishnah, although, as I had mentioned, that this parak is going to be full with challenges of how to calculate Tchum. Today's daf is going to be mostly Agada, so we continue with the Agada. In terms of the text of our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yudcham Nis Yomim, Gidalti Eitzel Rabbi Yoshe B'Rebbe, I spent 18 days with Rabbi Yoshe, V'loy L'mati Menu El Dovrad Mishnasenu, but I learned only one thing about our Mishnah. Keis Ma'arbin Es Ha'arim, how do we do Ma'aber, he learned it ba'alif. He learned it with a lashon of alif. How do we extend? We had that previous machlokis of what's lashon aver, or it's me'uberes. Eini asked the Marv Rabbi Yochanan, Yud beis talmidim ha'yele Rabbi Yoshe b'Rebbe. He had 12 students. V'yud chasyom gidalti b'neim. I spent 18 days among them. V'mati leiv kol echad v'echad. I learned how clever each one, v'chachmas kol echad v'echad, and how knowledgeable each one is. So this shows that Rabbi Yochanan just learn more than one thing. What does he mean that I only learned one thing, and it was that the lashon is aver aver? Says the Gemara, lev kol echad vecha chachmas kol echad vecha gamar. What it means was he learned how clever each one was. He got a sense, but gamar velo gamar. But they didn't learn anything substantive. Iba yisema minayu diduka gamar. From the students, he actually learned a lot. But from Yosheb Ribi, he didn't learn anything. That might be because the Rosh Yeshiva was busy. Rabbi Yeshia was busy. The first Pshat in the Gemara is a little hard to understand. If he was learning by him for such a long time, what does it mean that he didn't acquire any more knowledge? But if you want, you could answer Dover Echa Mishnah Senu Ka'amar. He meant that from our Mishnah, that's what they discussed. As they would say in the yeshivas, the Rebbe shtelled only on this, but they discussed other things. But in the Mishnah, that was the only thing that he had discussed. But they learned other brises and other gemaras. From Rabbi Yochanan, kishayinu lam tere eitzel Rabbi Yeshia, hayinu yoshvin arba ba'ama. We were sitting four in every ama. We were sitting very close. And the Rischa d'Araisa comes from being close together. That's our challenge during this distancing time. To be able to maintain that Rischa d'Araisa, but for sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that we could do it. Amar Rebbe, Kishayinu Loim Nintere Eitzel Rebbe Lazar Ben Shamua, Hayinu Yoshin Shisha Shisha B'Amah. There was used to sit six in Amah. Why? Because they were drawing close to be able to hear the Rebbe. Amar Rebbe Yechon, Rebbe Yeshia B'Ribi B'Doire, Rebbe Yeshia B'Ribi in his generation, Kiremeir B'Doire. And this might explain the above Gemara, that just like when it came to Rebbe Meir, not everybody was able to understand the depths of his reasoning. So too, when it came to Rebbe Yeshia, many had difficulty understanding because it was so deep and it was so profound. Rashi on Yud Gimel Amud Beis points out that Rebbe Meir would sometimes give brilliant explanations even for the shitas that weren't lahalacha. So that would sometimes throw off the Talmidim because they weren't sure how Rebbe Meir came out, how we paskin lahalacha. That's how Rashi understands that they weren't yorid l'soif das Rebbe Meir. Maybe this is connected to what Rabbi Yochanan had said earlier, that when he was by Rabbi Yosheb B'Ribi, he only learned one thing from our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yosheb B'Ribi was being mefalpel so much that the pashat, the yisodos in the Mishnah, he didn't get from Rabbi Yosheb B'Ribi, except for Ma'abrin versus Ma'abrin. I didn't see that pshat anywhere, but something interesting to think about. To this day, you have tremendous harifim that jump into the nuances of the sugya, but the Talmidim don't learn from them the Yisodos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Liban Shel Rishonim B'Kipischai Shel Ula. The minds of the earlier Talmidei Chachamim were as big as the opening to the Ulam, the entrance of the hall of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azaris. V'Shel Achronim K'Pischai Shel Heichal. But the Achronim, they're smaller. Their laves, their hearts are not as open, and it's as big as the entrance to the Heichal, which is smaller. Va'anu, but we are so much smaller. Kimlei nekev machat siddikis, the entire eye of a needle, which is used to sew, that's how big we are. In other words, we compare like nothing compared to the previous generations. Rishonim, when we say Rishonim, Rabbi Akiva, that he was Pesach Shel, the entire Beis HaMikdash. Achroinim Reb Lazar ben Shemua. The later ones, like Heichel's Reb Lazar ben Shemua. Ikadar Mishon Reb Lazar ben Shemua. Achroin Reb Yoshia ben Ribi. Some say it's Reb Yoshia ben Ribi. V'anu kimloi neka machat tzidikis. And for us, who is that? Who is that? Those are the Amoraim. Amar Abaye v'anan kisichto beguda ligmar. And the later Amoraim say Abaye is like forcing a peg into a narrow hole in a wall. That's how hard it is for us to comprehend what we're taught. Amar Rava v'anan. And Rava says, and we're even worse, kiatz ba'asa bekira l'svara. Trying to poke a finger into a hard lump of wax, that's how hard it is for us to figure out. Amar Rashi, anan kiatz busa bibira l'shicha. It's like inserting a finger into a pit. That's how easy it is for us to forget what we learned. The Gemara now continues the midos of people in Yehuda in the context of our Mishnah. Amar of Yehuda Marab, b'nei Yehuda sheikpidu al ha'shoinim. The people in Yehuda were makbid on how they spoke. Niskaimo toirasam b'yodin is a very powerful Musar, it's Gemara. So those people were careful how they spoke, so the Torah stayed with them. B'nei golo shloikpidu al ha'shoinim, but b'nei golo that weren't makbid, lo niskaimo toirasam b'yodin. The Torah didn't stay with us. Says the Gemara, midi b'kbeida talya misa. So is it really dependent how the retention of knowledge of how they speak? Ella, so the Gemara gives a different pshat. B'nei Yehuda de daiki lishna, because in Yehuda they were precise in the matters of language, umas nache luhu simna, and they assigned symbols to their teachings, niskaima terasam b'nei yadam. B'nei gol de lo daik lishna, v'lomas nache luhu simna, lo niskaima terasam b'yadam. The Torah didn't last. So, the Gemara originally was quoting it as almost a super... a spiritual thing, a supernatural thing, that if we were careful of the way we speak, so then the Torah stays with us. The Gemara then asks, Al pi derech hateva, why would there be a relationship between the two? And the Gemara says, when you someone who speaks precisely, then the halacha stays clearer in your mind, and you have the halacha more clear. Otherwise, it doesn't work. The Gemara gives two more reasons why the people in Yehuda were successful in retaining their knowledge. B'nei Yehuda gamru michad rabba. Those in Yehuda learned from one Rebbe. Niskay matarasam b'yadam. B'nei gol de lo gamru michad rabba. They didn't learn from one Rebbe. Lo niskay matarasam b'yadam. They weren't able to hold on to their learning. Taisus makes a very important point, the last Taisus on the Amud, that when we're talking about that's advantageous to learn from one Rebbe, that's in terms of the basic text, what's referred to as Gemara, learning the basic text. However, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that if you learn Torah from only one Rebbe, you won't see a Simen Bracha, because different Rabbeim will open up your way of being able to think and analyze things in a broader way. So here we're talking about learning the basic Girsa and memorizing the basic Girsa. Remember, once upon a time, they were memorizing a lot more. Even today, the Gemara told us that even if we're not memorizing, but we should be careful to be precise in getting down the shitos and the halacha. The Gemara now gives a practical example of this from the Gedolim in Nach. David Galia Mesechta. David elucidated and revealed the Mesechtos, the tractates of Mishnayis. Shol lo galim mesechta, but Shol did not. David galim mesechta, chsiv bei yireecha yiruni v'yismachu. Those who revere you shall see me and rejoice. Those who fear God will delight in the accuracy of David's halachic decisions. Shol lo galim mesechta, chsiv bei. Shol who did not, because it says uvechol asher yifne yarshia, that wherever he turned, he made a mistake, and it seems that was because he had not been galim mesechta. V'amar Rabbi Yechon taught, "Menayin shemachaloi Hakadosh Baruch Hu top line on the Gimel on the base. How do we know Hakadosh Baruch Hu was meichlem al oisei avoyim, that he forgave him for the sin of killing the city of Nov? Shenemar machar ata uvanecha imi. After Shmuel died, his spirit appeared to Shaul, and he told him, tomorrow you and your children will be with me imi b'michitzasi, that you will go into his mechitza. So therefore, Shaul was forgiven. But Pashtos, the Gemara now has just started talking about Shaul, and Shaul's alpi madregoso, his shortcoming of giving correct halachic psak, the Gemara now discusses other parts about Shaul. Now the Gemara goes back to the issue of ma'adbrim or ma'abrin, of how to read our Mishnah, and the Gemara points out that in Bnei Yehuda, they were the people to ask what the appropriate girsa is. Amar Rabbi Abba, Ika demashul b'nei Yehuda d'daiki lishni. Someone asked the people of Yehuda who are precise in language, ma'abrintan o ma'abrintan. What would they say? Would they say that the appropriate girsa is with an aleph or an ayin? Similarly, the Gemara asks, akuzitnan o akuzitan. Is it with an aleph or an ayin when we're talking about kuzi? What are we talking about? So we're talking about the Mishnah in Choros that describes an animal with only one testicle is unfit to be sacrificed. So there the Gemara discusses the details of the hindquarters as well. Because in deciding whether it has one testicle or not, you have to see it and check the animal from the back. So there, the hindquarters are either called akuzi, or with an aleph, or an ayin. So that would be another question that you could ask. Yadi, and they will know the answer to this question. Shalinu, they asked it, v'amulei, ikatani ma'abrin, v'ikatani ma'abrin. They said there are actually two gersos, ikatani akuzi, v'ikatani akuzi. So that both gersos have a basis in tradition. So we mentioned above that the Bnei Yehuda are precise in matters of language, Bnei Galil or not. The Gemara continues, Bnei Yehuda daiki lishni mahi. What is an example of this? Tahu bar Yehuda da amelu. There was someone from Yehuda and who had said to the Rabbim talis yeshli limkar, that I have a talis to sell. Amru lei my gavin talisach. What is the color? Ameluhu kitrodin ale adama. Similar to the beet on the ground. So he described exactly the color. Bnei Gol, d'lo da'ik lishnei mahi, an example of Bnei Gol that they don't have this preciseness. Da'hu bar Gol da'vi ka'azol v'amelu. There was someone who Gol who was walking along, and he asked someone he had met, Amar leman, Amar leman. Who has an Amar? He was asking who has something called an Amar. Amar lei, they said to him, Gli shayta, chamor lemirkav. You mean a chamor? Why are you calling it Amar? O chamor lemishti. Or a chamar to ride on, or a chamar to drink. Amar lemilbish, do you mean amar of with an iron of wool to wear? O imar luskisa, so that's an example that their speech was unclear. He is the son of the Bar Lemaimer Lechavarte, was a woman who intended to say to her friend, Ta'i do'achli chelba, come, that I can give you some fat to eat. But she wasn't clear. Amra la, so she said to, what she said to her sounded like, Shlochti to'achlich lavya, Shlochti may a lion eat you. And that would be a negative thing to say. He is Sad Asla Kameh Dayana. There was a woman who came in front of a judge. Amale Mari Kiri. My master, my slave. My master, a slave. What she meant to say to him was something different. The word Kiri with a kaf means a slave. Kiri with a kuf sounds like a kavod, some a dear master. Tafalta, tafla, havasli, I had a beam. What she intended to say was tavla, that she had a tablet. Ugnuvi min, and they stole you from me. That's what gnuvi mean. But she meant to say gnuvi minoi. Uchidas, uchidu havis, and now it was, that's what she said, but what she meant to say is uchidun havis, it was this big. That when they hang you on it, she didn't mean to say when they hang you on it, but what she meant to say was how big the tablet was, but she gave a bad example about hanging him. Lamati karachar, your feet do not reach the ground. So here this mistake was a bad judgment call of how to describe the height. The Gemara now gives other examples of enigmatic speech. Amasa deve Rebbe. The main sir in the house of Rabbi Kav Mishtoi B'loshin Chachama, when speaking in enigmatic language, Amra Hachi, Eles Nikvas Bekad, the ladle hits the barrel. Yirun, Yidun, Nishrei L'kinein, the eagles should fly to their nest. This was a way of saying to students that were eating at the house of Rabbi that the wine barrel was empty, hence the language of the ladle knocking against the bottom. In other words, telling them there was time to leave. And when she wanted them to say, have her, to stay and eat, she would say to them, Yadi baser chaver timine, a piece of her friend shall be removed. In other words, let us remove the stopper from the barrel. And the ladle will float in the barrel like a ship. In other words, it's saying there is a new barrel of wine that will be opened and there is reason to stay to eat. More examples of difficult, vague speech. Rabbi Yosi bar Asim b'havi mishtoi b'loshen chachma omer. When speaking in chachma, he would say, chachma here means in riddles, asuli shar b'mishpat b'tur miskein, prepare for me an ox in judgment on a poor mountain. Instead of saying, to prepare for me beets with mustard, he would describe it in this metaphorical way. And when inquiring for the welfare of an innkeeper, he would say, Gvar pum dein chai. The man of this mouth, is he alive? Mazatova yesh. What is this good that there is? In other words, is the innkeeper alive? Is he well? Gvar pum din chai. What is the good here? Meaning, is he alive? Another example of enigmatic speech, Rabbi Avo, Kam Mishtoi Beloshon Chachma, Havi Amar Hachi. He would say as follows. And here, Rabosai, we have our Sukkis bonus. Asrigi lipechamim. Make coals like an esrig. That is, burn the coals to make them glow like an esrig, so we can warm ourselves by them. From here, we see that the ideal esrog would have a golden look to it. Arkin lezavin, spread out the golden ones. Vasuli shnei magide balata. Make two indicators in the darkness. Prepare two roosters for me. Igad armi v'yasuli bahen shnei magide balata. Make with them the coals two indicators. Magide balata, two indicators in the darkness, and that is the roosters. Interestingly, Rashi describes the color of the coals as being reddish. Hiviru es hapcham lios adumin ke esrog, reddish like an esrog. So probably, again, what Rashi means is that it should shine, it should be bright. Or Rashi is saying that there's some type of value of a reddish tint in an esrog, but that's hard to imagine what exactly Rashi is referring to. But it would seem to me that here from Rashi and our Gemara, it seems quite clear from the Gemara, that a golden, bright type of color in the esrog would be the typical identity of an esrog. Of course, the Mishnah famously says that an esrog that's green as a leek is possible, but here it sounds like not only is there a value in it not being green, dark green, but there is a value to a shine. Another example of enigmatic speech, Amalei Rabbanon Rabbi Avo, Het Spinenu Heichan Rabbi Lo Tzafen. Show us where Rabbi Lo is hiding. Amar Lehen, so he said to him, Olus Benar, he rejoiced with a young woman, Aronis, from the family of Aaron. Achoronis, the latest one. Ironis, a lively one, Vinarito, and she kept him awake last night. Amra le Isha, some say that Rabbi Vo was referring to a woman. Rabbi Lo had remarried, and he was saying that he had just gotten married, he had just rejoiced with a new wife. Vahamri lo Mesechta, and some say that he had stayed up all night learning. In other words, Torah is often used as a euphemism of closeness and desire of a husband to a wife, of our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Amar Leh the Rebbe Elo, they said to Rebbe Elo, Etzpinenu Heichen Rebbe Avo Tzaf, and where was Rebbe Avo? Amar Leh Nisiyoetz B'machter, he took counsel from the one who crowns, V'ingiv L'Mifiboshes, and he went to Mifiboshes. Mifiboshes, who was the teacher of David Melch, he was granted permission by the Nasi to go and learn from the giants of the Talmid HaChamim that lived in the south. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Miyom ayla nischani adam, there was no one who ever got the better of me in an encounter. Chutz meisha tinok vitinokes, a woman, a little boy, except for a little woman, a little boy, and a little girl. Isha mahi, the instance of one, pamachas esamrachti itzach sanya achas, I was at it. In Asili Poland, the hostess made beans. Biyom rishon achaltim v'lo shiartim en klum. First I ate them, I didn't leave any of the shneem v'lo shiartim en klum. Second day I ate, and ate all of them. Biyom shlishi k'tiach b'melch. On third day, there was too much salt. Kimon shetamti mashachti yod. The man, and I didn't eat them. Amr li, Rebbe pnei ma ein chasod. So he asked me, why aren't you eating? Amr t'lei, kfar sa'ati mibod yom. He didn't want to tell her directly. He said, I ate already during daytime. Amr li, haylecha limshoch yodecha min apas. If that would be so, if you weren't hungry, so then you shouldn't have eaten the bread. So she had a good kasha. Amr li, Rebbe shemel inachto peya birishayim. Perhaps you didn't leave over a portion of beans from the first servings, and in other words, you're making up from the past. Lo kach amru, didn't the chacham say, ein mesharim peya bilfus, we don't leave over a portion of the serving pot. Al mesharim peya bikar, but you do leave over bread, a peya, a corner in the plate. So you don't leave over from the serving pot, but you do leave over for the plate. Rashi explains that it was etiquette not to finish all the food in plate, but to leave over a bit untouched, and it was left over for the servant who served the food. Rabbi Yeshua failed to observe this practice, hence the Maharsha explains that she gave her musr. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua was saying, that the hostess had given him mussar. Tinoikis ma, he was incense with a little girl. Pamachas yisim halach b'derech. I was going on the way. V'yisi derech over a sada. I noticed a path that went through a field. V'yisim halach ba. Amarli tinoikis achas rebi lo sada hizu. This is not a private field. How come you're going through it? She asked him. Arti lo. Lo derech kvusha. It looks like it's already been a trodden path. Amarli listim kamoscha kivshua. The reason why it becomes trodden is because there are people who steal like you. In other words, it's private property. And what has happened is, by walking through it, many people have walked through it like you, and they made it seem like it's public, but it's really not public property. So she gave him Moser. Rabbi Yoshua was moda to this Moser. Tinuk Mahi, a little boy gave him Moser. Pamachas Yisi Mahalach Baderach. For Yisi Tinuk Yosha al Prashas Drachim, I saw a boy sitting at the fork. Va'amarti li be'ez derech neich le'ir. And I asked him which way to the city. Amar li zuk sur v'aruka. The road, there's one road which is short, the other long. Zu arucha ksar. And then there's one which is long, which is really short. So there's one that's short and long, and one that's long and short. Valachti biktar varuka, and I went down the one which he described as short and long. Kim she got to the ear. Matsashi makifinosa gagos upardes. When I approached the city, I saw it surrounded with gardens and orchards that didn't allow me to go in. Chazarta chora, so I went back. Amartilo. Bini halo martili ksar. Didn't you tell me it's long? Isn't it short? Amarli v'lo martil charucha. I told you it's short, but it's also long. Neshakti v'alroisha gave him a kiss on his head. V'amarti lo, ashreichem Yisrael shekulcham chacham gdolim atem migdolchem ad ketanchem. That everybody in Klal Yisrael is sharp, and he had a beautiful way of describing the way the road was by describing it as katsar v'aruka. Rabbi Yosef Glida av kozel b'orach. Rabbi Yosef Glida was going down a road. Ashkei l'bruri. He met Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir. Amar lo, he asked her, "Beis derech neilch lud? What's the way to lud?" Amar lo, she gave him Moser glil shayte. Loi kacham ruchacham al tar besicha ima isha. Why are you speaking with a woman? Haylecha lomar beis lud. You should have spoken short, more briefly. Which way it is to lud? Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow's daf is going to continue with more of the Moser of the Charifa Bruria. This Beis Hashem concludes Daf Nun Gimel in Maseches Erevin.